there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Welcome to the podcast. This time, me and Rune are going a little bit back to our roots, you could say, because we're doing a Danish film made by an Icelandic director called Winter Brothers. We finally got a chance to see it, both of us, in the same week by some miracle, and we're grabbing the opportunity. But first of all, Rune, how are you? How's your Monday been? We're doing a Monday recording now. I've had a fucking tough Monday, you know. How's your been?
Well, it's been still recovering from illness during the weekend. I expected to be all well now, but I am clearly not.
You have been popping some pills, yes, today?
I've been popping pills all day. Both, normal headache pills and these kind of strepsils, you know, like for the throat.
Yes.
So I'm actually also battling a little bit of a sore throat. So when I'm speaking, it hurts just a slight bit.
Okay.
You know, so just so you know, I'm doing this podcast where I'm going to talk for about an hour and, I have kind of a bad throat.
I am excited about that because of the pill popping and the fact that you have a beer and it's a strong one, I'm told. What are you drinking?
Yeah, I am drinking my favorite stout, a Limfjord Porter.
Yeah. You've had that one before, yeah?
I've had it before. Yeah. It's my go-to stout if I need one of those. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's not, I mean, it's called a Limfjord Porter. So it's like a porter.
Okay.
But it's a double brown stout as well. So it's two sides of, one beautiful coin.
Okay. And beautiful. And what's the alcoholic?
It's only 7.9.
Only 7.9. Well, here's to hoping with all the pills, you know, you've had today, we'll get something interesting.
I'm not sure if I can make it through it. Somehow I'm not really looking forward to beer. I've been drinking tea today.
Mm-hmm.
I just warmed up by having a nice chai tea.
Yeah.
Now for the real stuff.
No rock and roll points for that one. No.
No.
Yes, and he pours.
You can hear how thick it is pouring it.
Okay.
And, this is one of those stouts that doesn't let any light through. And the foam is even brown, caramel brown.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll take a little sip can let me know what beer you're drinking tonight.
Yeah. Getting lightheaded already?
Yeah. It'll come sooner rather than later.
The thickness, probably. it's like melted butter or something.
But you know, I was I was thinking of getting whiskey instead. And I think this is probably close to it somehow.
Okay.
Yeah, somehow. Right. Well, at least with alcohol.
Let me just show you this thing I have here. See, this is not what we got in Belgium.
No.
The other day, my wife...
showing a glass.
Yeah, I'm showing you a glass. This big-ass Hoegaarden glass. My wife surprised me the other day, gave me a couple of these huge glasses, which can take like... Well, they're said to take half
one
a liter.
1 liter, right?
But they take 2, 330 easily.
Okay.
660.
Yeah, the line is a little bit lower. It's below the Hoegaarden logo.
And she also got me like Mark Maron's book because I'm a fan now. Like
you're a super fan. Yes.
Yeah, Waiting for the Punch. Actually, listen to that podcast today of his when he's going through the first chapter of the book by sound clips of his guests talking about their childhood. Okay. Really good show.
Okay.
Also, she got me like these Hoegaarden coasters and this thing here. This is like a beer mat. Do you see this?
What did you do to deserve this?
I don't know. I guess I'm a good husband. Do you see this?
Yeah.
This is like...
Yeah, wow.
She's cool. My wife is extremely cool. She just surprised me for no reason one day.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
And that beer mat there with the Hoegaarden logo, you could put that up behind you.
Yeah, I could.
And then we could get some sponsor points.
Yeah, we should do that. We should talk to some people.
Yeah. We should.
Yeah. But, right, so I'm not pretending anymore.
So you're going to pour Hoegaarden.
Yeah, I'm not pretending anymore, Rune. This is the best beer for me. And I will be drinking that on this Monday evening. Tell you what, though. I had an interesting Monday. Let's just... I'm going to tell you about it a little bit
Because we don't really want to hear what you think about the Hoegaarden because we've been there and done that several times now.
Let me just try from this huge glass. Do you see? This is massive.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a big glass. Yeah. Tryggvi looks like a Viking.
Oh my God.
Right now. Yeah. All right.
See, I started my day at work having a... I was busy, and I'm covering as well for a colleague, and I have no spare time. And I had to go to the bathroom, and I was in the bathroom and taking care of business, minding my own business, you know, sitting there on the can, and a coworker walks in. See, I forgot to lock the door. This is the first time that has happened in the 12 years I worked in that office. And me and my coworker, we had a moment. We will never forget.
Okay.
Yeah, me sitting nice. and him coming in and just saying, sorry, sorry, sorry. And me laughing nervously and him running out. And oh, my God.
How did that feel?
So fucking embarrassing. But you know, you know what you gotta do. You gotta own it. I just went to him and said, "Hey, man, we'll always have that moment."
Yeah. That's a good way of doing it.
That's what you do. Also, my flight. This is happening right after this incident and in the middle of a really busy day.
Mm-hmm.
My flight to Hungary. The return flight got canceled. I moved 2 days ahead. So I'm in trouble now. I'm going to Hungary in November, Budapest, like I told you. And so I need to reschedule Kiwi.com, which is where I booked. They got to reschedule. And they sent me an email. And it says, go to this page, follow this link, and... This is what we have to offer you. And I'm thinking, okay, I have to stop in London, but who gives? I just need to, you know, get home.
Yeah.
And I follow the link and there's nothing to confirm. Also in this mail, it says, you have 4 hours to do this. If you don't do this, all your rights, you know, disappear. You're on your own, buddy.
All right.
And nice. So my morning went into this thing. It took a while to get the fucking phone number, but I got it.
Is it for real? Has it actually been canceled or was it a phishing
It's not
mail?
Canceled. It's moved forward 2 days. What am I going to do? In this case, they have to fix me something else.
Yeah.
And they did.
Yeah, they really should.
And I finally get the phone number and then I have to talk to a phone bot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I had that moment as well this morning.
Okay.
The moment where, my booking number is blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I am sorry. I cannot help with that. Please go to manage your booking. I was like, I can't manage my booking. I can't see any booking because it was disappeared.
Mm. Yeah.
So I finally said, can I please talk to a real person almost... crying. And finally they understand that sentence. After that you finally get through to a person.
Maybe that's a life hack right there. If you hear robot voice, just say, can I speak to a real person, and you'll be
excellent. Point. Excellent point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Might be.
And I spoke to this nice woman and all is good, I guess. Mm-hmm. I still have to go and do stuff, but it appeared to me that they hooked me up.
And there was a chance to get home.
Yeah, it's been a fucking Monday, man. This weekend was awesome, I had this time to myself. Sumile and Shep went to her parents' summer house for a night. And I was like, oh my God, I have a whole Saturday and almost a whole Sunday to myself. So I watched all the football I could watch. I watched the boxing in the middle of the night. I watched art house film, which I wouldn't have gotten through.
Nice.
With Shep. Yeah. It's
no.
It's Woman Under the Influence by John Cassavetes.
Mm. Yeah. Nice.
Pretty fucking good. Yeah. And I watched half of The Magician or Ansiktet by Ingmar Bergman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's, and then the boxing.
Is that called
The
Magician?
The Magician, yeah, in English.
Okay.
But it's the face. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you know, this is my life before Shep, when I was alone. I just did what
sports,
I
yeah, I just, art house. Just
did what the fuck what I wanted, you know. I watched what I wanted. There was no, you know, responsibility.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is that I just missed them all, all the way through.
That's the thing. It seems a little bit pointless.
Yeah.
Having so much time for yourself.
I just missed them
nowadays.
The entire time.
Yeah.
That's it was weird. Yeah. I was looking forward to it. I get all this time to myself. You know what I did? I made my own Bitmoji on Snapchat.
Why?
I don't know. I just did it. Everybody in the family group had one, so yeah. I'll just do that. I have time to do this now. I can take my ass off the football for a while.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. I can't wait to see it. I have one also, but I'm not using Snapchat.
No, you're not.
But
I'll send you a screenshot.
Yeah. That'll be nice. That'll
so.
Be yeah, but, you know, I've just been sick all weekend.
Yeah.
After Alien's family left, they've been here for 3-4 months now.
what?
And they,
for no, 3 months?
No, 3-4 weeks. See? You know? Yeah. 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
And as soon as they leave, because I've always been on the take care of Reskva position.
Yeah.
You know, when we've been out, then Alien has stayed with the family and I've gone home with Reskva. And finally, we're both here. We're both like going to chill together. And what do? I start getting sick. And I've just been wasted.
I'm hoping you'll be wasted later, but you know.
Yeah. No, I won't get wasted from this, but you know, I've just been like having the worst kind of fever Saturday, and I tried to get to watch some Ozark that we're going to talk about a little
we
bit
did
later,
plan
and
to.
Also Winter Brothers
and
everything, but I couldn't watch anything on the TV
on Saturday,
neither days, like neither Saturday or Sunday really. It was only towards the evening. It was okay starting to watch something.
Yeah.
So it's been a great weekend.
Yeah.
but let's not talk about all these horrible things that has happened to us the last few days.
Yeah.
What have you been watching? Have you been like you told me that you were watching something? Is there anything you want to highlight right now?
Well, Woman Under the Influence.
Yeah.
1974.
I haven't seen it.
John Cassavetes. Yeah, it's on Filmstar. It's on our watch list. I was just excited about that. It's kind of new Hollywood-ish. It's so they're breaking away from the studio system at that time, as you remember, all kinds of stuff going on. And it's just Gina Rowlands. She is fantastic in that one. Mm-hmm. And it's about mental illness. And it's a kind of a tough watch at times, especially if you have kids. And I think she's like bipolar. I don't know if it's a correct depiction of mental illness. I don't know.
No,
I'm sure there's so many variations of that. But it was
maybe
a tough watch.
Time.
But yeah, it was too long though. It was like 2.5 hours plus. Mm-hmm. So, but it's one of those you have to have watched.
Yeah.
It's the back catalog, like featuring there, you know, prominently. So I'm glad I watched it. It was a good experience. It was too long though.
Yeah. I need to catch up with it at some point.
Yeah.
Somehow, it rings a bell. Like many of these movies rings bells because I was at this film college for a year.
Yeah.
And the usual day there would be a little bit of class, a movie, lunch.
Yeah.
some more class and then a few movies in the evening. And that was like for a year. So
Jesus,
so a lot of these.
That sounds like heaven.
Yeah, I mean it was great, and you know you could still do it. Just sign up, go there.
I will do it one day.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was great, and you got to catch up with so many movies, and I kept a list until I just couldn't do it anymore. And we didn't have stuff like Letterboxd back then.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. If we had, then all of those would be on that list. But
we're planning to talk about Ozark, but it turns out both of us have only watched 8 out of 10. So we can talk a little bit about that, how we're feeling about it. But
yeah.
Have you been watching something else?
Actually, I have. We started a couple of weeks ago, this Saturday movie tradition where we want to go and watch some movie that is fun for both me, Elin, and Raskwa.
Okay.
In the evening after we have eaten dinner, then do something special, watch a like special movie together.
Mm-hmm.
So we chose Song of the Sea, an Irish film. A couple of weeks ago, and we only watched half of it. Now I just caught up with the last half with Raskwa this evening, actually. So it's fresh in my mind.
Okay.
Just before we started. And
what is it? Is it a animation?
It's an animation movie. Yes, it's by the studio who did the recently released The Breadwinner that I talked about.
Yeah. Yeah, you talked about that
one. It's the studio called Cartoon Saloon, and they're being compared to Studio Ghibli in Japan a lot. They have a very distinct style. They do only hand-drawn animation, and it is, Song of the Sea is really amazing. It's about like some Irish folklore.
Yeah.
Fused with some Celtic mythology, and this story is about a mother who is pregnant, who dies in the beginning, and leaves her baby, and apparently this little baby is magical in some way. She is a Selkie, which is a folklore term for a seal woman. So she can put on a coat and she turns into a seal.
That's probably something Irish, distinctly Irish folklore. Yeah?
That is Irish. It is also Scottish.
Okay.
It is also Icelandic. Because I looked it up a little bit, and because I was very intrigued by this whole folklore about animals and people being fused together, you know, like transmorphed. And apparently they've made their way to Iceland also, and there are some different tales. One by Jón Árnason.
Yes, Jón Árnason, yes. He gathered all the folklore here. Yeah.
Yeah, and one called, like, Selshamrin, the seal skin.
Okay, you know? I've never heard of this.
No. and there's also an older one by Jón Guðmundsson, The Learned from 16-something.
Yes.
You know?
He learned stuff.
A long time ago. Yeah. He learned stuff.
Yeah. The Learned.
Yes.
I mean, 16th century, 17th century, we were living in, like, what do you call those? Torfbær, like... houses made of
mud
and grass. No. Yeah.
Grass.
So,
yeah. But apparently these kind of tales made their ways in that area, like also Faroe Islands, Iceland.
Yeah. Like, so we have a huge Nordic connection here going on.
Yes. And also it's co-produced by DR, actually.
Yeah.
Among many other companies and countries, then Denmark is also among one of them. And, you know, I cannot recommend this movie more warmly. You know, I think it's beautiful. Like, it's so rare to see complete hand-drawn animation. It's a joy to look at. It's an imaginative story also. You know, it's also kind of moving. There were several several situations.
Was there crying?
I got a bit of wet eyes. You know, right now I have glass eyes due to my illness.
Yeah.
But they got a little bit wetter this evening when we watched the last part, and I tried not to cry too much because I was alone with Reskva, and she would just be questioning me. But you know, one of the fun things here is that the Selkie, the main person, like other than the boy, her name is Saoirse.
Yeah, you remembered. I was looking at it, and I was thinking, what was? Yeah. How did you pronounce that again?
Yeah,
Saoirse.
Yeah, Saoirse. Yeah, and I've just been thinking, like, I recently realized how to pronounce this name, and Reskva throughout this movie was always saying, like, "Where's Saoirse? Where's Saoirse?" You know. So now she just knows that name. That's nice. Nice. You know, I love watching movies that has different, you know, mythology and folklore from different cultures like that. And it's very fascinating. And this is a beautiful film.
So it comes highly recommended.
Yeah. I gave it 4 stars. I'm thinking maybe even more because it's good. Mm. I can't really put my finger on anything. Really, other than I would like to know more about the folklore. Apparently, it is an original, like, fairy tale, but it's just based on all these folklore things. So, yeah.
So, you're happy. It's good.
Yeah. It was a nice end of a long, boring weekend.
Yeah. And we both have a 4-star film to report. That's good. Yeah. And a film outside of the scheduled film to watch.
Yes,
it's pretty good. So you want to, like, slide into Ozark for a bit, you know?
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Ozark.
Yeah.
But no spoilers, just our initial feelings.
Yeah.
Marty, use you up. And spit you out.
May I remind you of your debt to us?
Don't fuck with my client. They'll kill your children.
Look me in the eye and tell me that you've never lied to us about anything.
Have you killed other people?
Of course not. Kill people.
We're both at the 8th episode of
finished
second
the eighth
season.
Yesterday, yeah.
And the Ozark is about a family that moved from Chicago. Like, were forced to
move. To Missouri.
Because,
The Ozarks.
To the Ozarks.
Yes. She's
forced to move by the Lakes. Brazilian... Yeah. No, Brazilian. Oh, my God. I'm just messing things
Mexican
up here.
Mexican cartel.
But Mexican cartel. Yeah. Because apparently... Marty Bird. Yeah, but I always forget his name.
Yeah, he's laundering money for the Mexican drug cartel, yeah. And he has to, or he's gonna die. Simple as is his family.
Simple as that.
Yeah,
and in the first season, that was basically. Very black on white. Like, the immediate threat all the time was the Mexican cartel.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just lurking beneath the surface all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's some other, like, evils in the world as well. But that was, like, it was a lot like that, like black and white. Then you have the Snells also. But yeah. But in the second season, they kind of take it up a notch.
I seem to remember that we both liked season one pretty well, pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It was good. Do you think it was
a very different kind of crime drama? I think it's similar to the type of crime drama like Breaking Bad. You know, like these kind of normal guys who are. Forced or in a situation where they start like going into a territory of like organized crime and see how they do, you know?
Yeah, I see your point there, but I liked Breaking Bad. I don't put Breaking Bad into the highest echelon of TV, but it's pretty close to that. I don't put Ozark there either, and I don't put Ozark even close to Breaking Bad. I think it's a good drama. It was. I gotta tell you, I am invested in the plot.
Yes,
I'm invested, and I'm excited about watching it. But
you're not quite sure where it goes.
Yeah.
Right.
But what I'm thinking is because it's pretty good. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
But. When you get to that point, you think, okay, where is this? How do I compare this to the best stuff out there?
Mm-hmm.
Best TV I've seen is Sopranos and The Wire. Yeah. And it just doesn't measure up at all for me. It's too plot driven. And yes, they are trying to dive into the characters a bit.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really come close to the best stuff for me.
It is very plot driven.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have a very distinct aim.
Yeah.
But you also, you're always aware of that end game. You're always aware of like the A to B. It's a different kind of thing where you in Sopranos are more getting a glimpse into the life of the Sopranos, right?
Yeah.
Disclaimer, I haven't watched all of the Sopranos, despite the theme melody being Leonard Cohen. but I will at some point.
Yeah.
And you know my stance on The Wire and Tremé. So.
Yeah, Tremé is the upper. They're really close to the big two. But And then there's Breaking Bad, pretty close to that. For me, this is my...
But you know, yeah. But Breaking Bad is very good.
It's very good, yeah. It's better than this.
We're not going to... It's better than Ozark, but Ozark is different. You know, I loved... In the first season, how there was not so much focus on the crime. Like, there was not so much focus on people getting killed or anything. It was like this lurking threat underneath the surface, and all you saw was a guy trying to do accounting, basically. Like, try to do creative accounting.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was fascinating. I thought it was a great spin on this type of story. This season is a bit different because, I mean, they couldn't just continue doing the same thing. And I think maybe to some extent it's being a little bit convoluted. There's a little bit too much going on. Some people are turning and being a little bit different.
I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with the fact how it is released. You know, all released at the same time. This is maybe to do with how people watch these things these days.
Yeah, it has to be connected.
It has to be, I don't know, the attention. Yeah, you have to be engaged at all times. I mean, for me, I felt, okay, I kind of like this for the first 5-6 episodes. I like this. I'm good. I'm engaged.
Yeah.
But it felt a little bit like they've been being thrown curveballs 4 or 5 each episode, and they were just you know, it's just a landmine field, and they were like just scurrying over there and trying to avoid all these. It's one thing after another every episode. But then episode maybe 6, 7, 8. 7 was very good, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
We kind of start to get more of the characters.
Yeah.
So it took a bit of a turn for me. So now I'm really excited about watching the last two.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, me too.
Definitely too much plot driven to have a chance against the best stuff. But very good nonetheless. And like that girl, Garner girl, Julia Ruth Langmore. Garner.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She is the star of the show.
And Laura Linney.
There's no doubt about it.
And Laura Linney.
Yeah, I mean, but she's proved her worth before.
Oh,
I mean,
she has.
You haven't really seen Julia Garner in anything. Well, at least I haven't seen her in anything else. She has probably been in some things.
She's a kid from New York. She's 24. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. She is fantastic. And I'm always turning to Ellen and being like, this. She is amazing. I love seeing her. I love the way she, like, her character is so conflicted. And, you know, you say it's not character driven. It's not. But her character is so gray. Like, she's such in the gray area. She's really trying to be good and doing well, but she's drawn into bad areas due to her upbringing and her family and, you know,
she is
heritage, really.
Yeah. In my opinion,
she's a Langmore.
She's a Langmore. And she's not going to be allowed to forget that. But
no.
I think she is by far the best written character there. And of course, she is impeccably played by Garner. having said that, I keep, you know, comparing it to the good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
and in The Sopranos, sure, you got the occasional evil bastard, you know? But but the Snells and Petty, the FBI guy, and they just have one side. They're not rounded. They're like flat,
They're trying
people.
To do a little bit with Jacob, though. Jacob Snell. That he's starting to question a few things. But I see your point. And it's also what I'm feeling is the weak point of this story. Yeah. Especially Petty. And,
But then again... they are trying they know about this, the writers, and they are trying to give them other sides, like what's going on in the Snell house, what Darlene wants, what Patty's background, him being gay and his mother and all that. You know, him being gay is not a spoiler. It's apparent from the beginning, season one.
Yeah.
And all that. I mean, they're trying to round them a little bit, but it's not really sticking. You know what I mean? You know what I'm going with this, at least.
Yeah, and it's also the one thing I'm glossing over a little bit.
Yeah.
Because I feel like much of the other stuff is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I, for instance, really love the cartel's lawyer.
She's good.
You know, I think she's very, refreshing somehow to see this, like, hardcore, like, lawyer type. Like, I like that. And also that she's representing the Mexican cartel. But you're getting a little bit of insight into her being a real person. She could just as well be a really evil, like be portrayed as a very evil person. And that is what she is here. But she's giving small hints that she has kids of her own. And you can deduct from that, I mean, she's with the cartel. So she's obviously also doing this out of fear in some way, and she's just very good at it, you know, like doing her thing in
but
order
it's
to
very,
get by.
Very you know? Small hints. I mean, we get one side of her,
yeah,
and that's
but you
badass.
still get it,
tiny
you know?
Like, bit. But
yeah,
I don't.
It depends how much you hinge
I'm
on it.
Not
you
prepared
know?
To give you that one just yet.
I think it's all right.
Maybe the beer is kicking in.
Yeah.
But I've been saying from
like Darlene is the one person who is like pure evil, like a bit too much pure evil. It's not really that's not really for me.
I mean, Jacob is not a nice guy either. And
Jacob
he has,
is not a nice guy, but a bit more, dare I say, reasonable.
He's polite, you know. But that's it.
He's Scottish, apparently.
He kills
as
people.
As we realized before.
Yeah. But I've been saying from the start of her appearances, the lawyer, that she is the head of the cartel. I'm thinking she is the head. She's not the lawyer. I think she the cartel, yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Let's see if that comes into light. In the third season.
Yeah, there's going to be a third season. I'm going to watch the third season. Tell you what.
What I hope, like now we haven't watched it to the end yet, but I'm pretty sure that they'll make it through this round. But what I really hope is that it's not going to end extremely well. And at some point, like it seems like all the different ends in their schemes and all that kind of stuff, it doesn't really add up. It's only borrowed time all the
time. Yeah, always on borrowed
time. So it would be great if the third season was actually just the downfall of this family. Slowly. Because, I mean, you can't take this like making it in the end.
They have
the
to kill one like, off at least.
You need to do something else because if not, it starts to become a soap in a way, you know?
Tell you what, my wife, she's being pissy about this.
Mm-hmm.
She's annoyed with it. She's not, she's used to the good stuff, but still, I mean, I'm better than her at taking stuff at face value. And I enjoy this. I like this for what it is. Yeah. And it is very good for what it's trying to be, and it's entertaining me all the way through.
Mm.
I'll just leave it at that for now.
Okay. Yeah. And just as a closing remark, it is the passion project of Jason Bateman.
Yes.
The name I always seem to forget, but Jason Bateman.
Yeah. I heard him on Mark Maron the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
He sounded Mark like he sounded a bit like an accountant.
Yeah.
He was
he
very
has a little bit of that, you
he's
know.
A very straight up guy, he's very politically correct. He's not at all what I thought he would be. Yeah.
But you know, you've seen him in see that escapes
yeah,
me.
That,
Arrested
that,
Development.
Yes.
You know, and he's the straight guy.
Always plays the straight guy.
Yeah, always the straight guy.
But he's very funny though.
You know. Yeah, and I think this is like he's also good in this show, and he's directing all of it.
No.
At
no,
the
no,
same
no.
Time.
He directed 4 episodes in the series 1
he's
and 2.
He's directing most of it.
Nope.
All,
nope.
He's
directed 4
also.
Episodes in season 1, 2 episodes in season 2. But it's his project and
it is.
And he's very good as Marty as well.
He is. Yeah. He is good.
Okay. So let's leave it at that and let's move on to Winter Brothers.
Do we meet?
Yeah.
Hvordan har du været her hos os?
Det er ikke helt sikkert, det er 5-7 år.
Hvor ser du dig selv om? Jamen, så lad os sige 5-7 år.
Arbejde her måske.
Hvad?
Måske.
Altså, du har en kæreste?
Ja.
Er hun flot?
Hvad?
Er hun flot, din kæreste?
Hvad? Ja, hun er meget flot.
Ja, du er ikke særlig flot selv. Eller er du? Synes du selv, at du er en flot dreng?
That was a clip from Winter Brothers, the new movie by Hlynur Pálmason. This is a Danish film directed by an Icelandic director. It is very unlike any Nordic film recently, you know, recently made.
You could say
which
that.
Which is great. This is about a couple of brothers who are working at a limestone quarry. And we basically follow the one brother who is doing homebrew stuff, and he sells it to his co-workers when they're down in the mine. And of a sudden, one of these customers dies.
Well, yeah, that's the exciting incident.
Yes.
Yes.
That is the exciting incident. But you know, he falls sick.
Yeah.
And that kind of gets the ball rolling,
yes.
I guess, in some way.
Yeah. What did you think, Lorne? I mean, being Danish, did you hear a lot of Danish?
Yeah, I mean, there are Danish stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the most clear parts of the movie was probably with Mads Mikkelsen's brother, Lars
Mikkelsen. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a face you always want to see. He's good.
Yeah, right. He is very good and arguably better than Mads Mikkelsen, but you know.
You know, I like Mads Mikkelsen.
Yeah,
he's coming to Riff,
too.
You know.
I do too.
He's coming to Riff.
He is.
He's a special guest at Riff.
Nice.
He will
be
answering questions and stuff. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, you have to prepare some.
I don't know if I have time to go, but I'm gonna see if I can. Yeah. I can, you know, do it. I
go
don't
and record it. Get a press outlet. You know,
like, yeah.
So you can. Get the audio for the podcast.
I could do that. Yeah. I could do that. That's interesting.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yes, I did not hear that much Danish, and we watched it here without subtitles on.
Mm-hmm.
The only subtitled parts were the ones in English,
mm-hmm.
and they were pretty clear.
Yeah.
All the other stuff. Weren't so much. And, you know, I don't think... I think it was the point that you shouldn't really be able to hear all of it. You could if you really paid attention. But it was hard.
It was hard, yeah.
And
that's the point, though, isn't it? with the sound design, which is one of the best parts of this film. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yes, I do agree. I do agree. It was the one thing that was most apparent from the beginning, because it opens down in the mine where you can't really see anything, but there's a lot of audio, like just ambient audio in there. And it's very industrial. It's very droning, like these kind of drones that is going. And then it's mixed with real sounds of big machinery doing their big noises. And, well, not big, loud noises, of course.
And a lot of dialogue gets lost in it.
Yeah.
All the way through.
And then you get one sentence maybe that is as close to the microphone as you can hope for.
Yeah.
And if you don't catch what they're saying that moment, then you just have to guess.
I mean,
really. And it's part of the charm of the movie, I guess.
You got the general what was going on, though, probably at all times.
Yeah, and you got just the feeling of being there, you know?
Yeah.
Like you were there with the people.
Very good point. Very good point. I thought actually the scenes in the mine, I don't know how they did it, but it you were placed there in the mine and with all the noise, and it was just deafening. And you really got a feeling just about the horribleness of it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they weren't wearing any like protective, like ear protection. Were they? I don't see.
I'm not quite sure.
Actually, I forgot to notice that, but
I think they only had helmets on.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's weird. Yeah. If you think about it, like you would have something to listen to, or because it's like you say, industrial noise, and you will just get deaf if you stay there long enough.
Yeah.
In that job.
Yeah, you will.
But these scenes in the mines, especially the camera, it was just always moving, and it was you were, like I said, placed there as an audience, and you really felt, I guess, like the characters, you know. It was just deafening and a little bit disorienting and a little bit horrible, I felt. Yeah. And I thought the cinematography was really good there.
I always felt a little bit in that moment that, you weren't a character down there, because all the characters had lights on their
helmets
or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So their experience would be different than a spectator without a light, you know? Like the camera was always seeing loads of lights going around and flailing between each other. So it's like a spectator without, you know, light.
Yeah, I guess. I didn't think about that, but you're right.
So I don't know. It was a little bit more disorienting than I would have liked to. But you know, it's a very brave opening.
I think that's the point, though. I think that's the point. He wants to place show you right away what's going on here. And I mean,
so much.
Yeah, why people are drinking is hooch. And
why they accept to drink it even though, like, it might kill them.
On the job. And even if it may kill them after this thing happens, which nobody really explains. I mean, if it killed him, why wasn't he like arrested, or why? What's going on here? It's doesn't really make sense, but
it was But I don't think that's really.
It's not the point.
You know, the point of the story.
No.
What I took away from it right away was that Hlynur Pálmason is obviously an Eraserhead fan.
Okay.
You know, because it's more than just a nod to Eraserhead with the industrial surroundings. You know, the set design in this movie is impeccable, I think. It's really dusty and gritty and disgusting, all of it, you know. And the surroundings, the sound design, everything, it fits perfectly together. And it's basically what Lynch and Eraserhead put forward, you know, industrial.
Sorry, Rune, I have to admit something. Yeah. I haven't seen Eraserhead yet. I was Saturday night, I was looking at my back catalog list.
You were looking at it even?
And I was looking at, Eraserhead? No, not tonight. Been... Not tonight. But fuck, like, I should have.
Hindsight is 2020, isn't it?
isn't it just?
That would have been the match made in heaven here.
But it's one of those films you have to watch, and I haven't yet.
Jeez. Yeah, exactly.
That is
it's obviously an inspiration.
More than a nod, you say?
More than inspiration, yeah.
Very good point.
Because it's the same thing, like the quarry here, you know, like the mine, is becoming a person in itself, like a character in itself, because you get so much of its audio, you get so much of its surroundings, you know. It even plays over the dialogue from some of the characters, which means that it's more important, you know, than the characters in the quarry.
Absolutely.
You know? So I think they did that very well. Really enjoyed this type of movie where the setting was the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I agree. I'm not really sure about the whole setting. I mean, the setting of the job I get. But I didn't get a sense. One of the many things you didn't really, really understand, maybe by choice, I don't know, but I didn't understand. Was this like a village? Was this like a work camp? You know, just only work, or is it a village? Why was the girl there then? Was she on the job?
Yes, I was always thinking, why was the girl there?
The only girl, apparently, the only girl in the movie. But
yeah,
I didn't. Do you know where they have limestone mines in Denmark? Do you know anything about the setting?
I don't know anything about the setting. I have an idea of where some of it might be, but no. And I was always wondering if this was supposed to be a specific time or where it should be, like, situated. And they don't really give you much
they
to
don't
go
give you,
on.
No, anything no. at all, really. I feel like, I mean, it's like other, a snapshot of this time and place, these characters. But a lot of the stuff we've talked about, like the cinematography and the sound design and the sound world of the movie is great. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole white... the whole white everywhere all the time, and the trees, and it's all very good. It's all very good. But you have to kind of stop and think about narrative structure, I think.
they're not really focused on that here.
Is that by choice, though? I mean, I know they're not focused on it, but... I don't need, like, linear. I don't need to be, like, led to stuff all the time. I don't need setups and payoffs and all that. I get that. I get what he's trying to do, but it was a little bit too much for me.
Yeah. And I'm totally on the same page here. You know, It's bordering on this surreal take on the world,
mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, you have to be very masterful, you know, and they do, like in this movie, I think they do all the motions, but some of them fall into this student film category where it's like you see all the great intentions, but it doesn't reach that right area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't rise to the occasion somehow.
Yeah.
And then you have some moments that are purely genius or like really good, you know.
Many of those.
And
there are many of those moments.
There are many of those.
Where you're like, wow, this guy is, he's really promising. But I tell you what.
Very promising.
But I tell you what, writing a good script is not easy.
No.
It's not.
No.
You can actually tell that it's not here. Because if he would have had a, I'm not saying it needs to be this or that, but I'm thinking it needed work.
At least I don't really know what they wanted to say with this movie.
Like I said, it feels like a snapshot.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells you about as much as a few snapshots do.
Yes. And, you know, that might be all good, you know?
Yeah.
If the whole, like the package tells you something. And, you know, that's what the best surreal films to me, at least, does to me. If they somehow manage to latch onto something inside me, so I take whatever I'm seeing into a different context in myself.
Exactly.
You know? But this movie just didn't reach that point. Like I saw all the intention, but there was nothing that I could latch onto and take further by myself. So
I completely agree with you for once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
It doesn't. Yeah. Just what you said. It. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
What you said.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. That's actually all. Like I already said, all the things that I loved about it, and that's basically why I gave it 3 stars, because all the rest I.
Did you give it 3 stars?
I
gave
it 3 stars as
well. I was hoping you would have given it more.
Yeah.
So we can have a little bit of a fight. But
no, I couldn't, because there are too many things that just didn't speak to me personally. I understand if some people would rate it higher.
Yeah.
If some of its images or messages, like hidden messages, would actually resonate with them. But it just didn't do it here. Also,
I get it. I mean, I don't need a resolution. I don't need that.
No.
But
it was a very abrupt ending.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. I mean, if he's going for that, if he thought, I'll just do a snapshot of this. I'm not going to tell people what's going on really. I'm not going to look any further into this man, Emil.
No.
Which is Emil, the main character.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to do a few snaps and leave it at that. And just kind of flex my little, you know, muscles with the artsy stuff, and I'll break the fourth wall here. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll have people look into the camera here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a bit studenty.
And also,
wouldn't you say?
It is a bit. And that's the fine line, you know? Because there are a lot of good ideas, and some of them are just ideas that you need to try out as a student, you know? But they're not. Like, they just don't work.
It is a first feature for Leonard Palmason.
Yeah.
And he's very good at what he does. I would say that. I'll be excited to see his next one.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is an artist. Somebody I read somewhere that he is an artist. You know, he's not just a filmmaker. Like, that's not being an artist. But he also does something else besides filmmaking. And
but that's also what I've written down here, actually, in my notes, that I'm very excited for the next thing, because this is very promising.
Mm-hmm.
This one in particular, not so much. Well, I mean, it is promising, yeah, but it just doesn't do anything for me. Also, like, I said the thing about Eraserhead, but mm-hmm. there's also a few other nods, like one nod that is very explicit is the Tarantino nod for Reservoir Dogs. Did you notice that in the office when he's being questioned by the manager of the quarry? Then the people
didn't connect it. It's been a long time since I saw Reservoir Dogs. Yeah. And Tarantino, to tell you the truth, is he's not really that high on my list.
No, and he's not high on my list either anymore. He was when he had done Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, and Jackie Brown.
Love Jackie Brown. Love Jackie Brown.
Those were like the heyday, mm-hmm. you know. So this was a Reservoir Dog nod when Michael Madsen is cutting off the ear of the policeman.
Okay.
And the camera moves away from the gore,
yes.
because you can't see it. They do exactly the same thing here when the people come and attack Emil, make him like force him to drink something, and it pans slowly away from the action and just shows the like,
you can the hear what he's shadow going and through. You can hear
it. Yeah, and you know, because the style was so distinct in all the other scenes,
mm-hmm.
In most of the other scenes,
mm-hmm.
when you get a very blatant nod to another director like that,
mm-hmm.
then it takes you out of the movie a bit, you know, because
does it
because
though?
You see the yeah, I think so, because it was like stylistically it was completely out of context with the rest of the movie, and like moving away from the action. You wouldn't do that in the context of the movie here.
That is a good point though, but I'm fine with nods to people you respect. I'm all for that actually.
Me too, but you need to incorporate it into your movie in a meaningful way. And if it's just there in order to be a nod because you always wanted to do that same shot.
Yeah.
Then I like you need to spin it in your own way.
I agree with that.
You can say that Tarantino is even just a person who makes nods to other filmmakers.
He's nodding to everybody.
But he does it.
Yeah.
But he does it still in his own way and captures it in his style.
I see your point with the it not fitting in really that scene, because the camera's not shying away from anything here. For instance,
it
shows four penises.
Yes.
Yes.
It does.
I counted them four.
It was one of the highlights of Alien's viewing experience.
Yes. Four penises and just unnecessary penises as well. But
yes.
He was just saying, yeah, fuck you. I'm going to show penises. Yeah. That's okay.
And you know,
that's okay.
Good on you.
Yeah.
You know, I've written down the longest naked fight scene since Eastern Promises. You know, where another Danish guy.
The Eastern Promises scene, that was uncomfortable. Also,
that was
this
uncomfortable.
One. Also, this one.
Yes. But this was also a Danish guy, Viggo Mortensen, in Eastern Promises, doing the naked thing. Apparently, it's a Danish thing, maybe, doing naked fight scenes.
Male members, Who directed Eastern Promises again?
David Cronenberg.
Ah.
So
it's not really a Danish thing, it's just Viggo.
Well, I mean, maybe it's the Danish actors who insist. I need to fight naked.
I need to be free.
It's something you see in the city life here all the time.
Yeah. But I have to say that the main actor, Elliot something Hove.
Yeah.
What is he called now? Elliot Crossethove.
Elliot Crossethove. Yeah.
He is. Well, we saw him in Fuelda.
In Parents.
Yeah, Parents. Yeah, we did that time.
Same cinematographer. Both movies.
Maria von something? Yeah. Wolfenhoff or something?
Von Hirschwolf.
Yeah.
Hauswolf.
Maria von Hauswolf. She sounds Austrian-German.
Yes.
But I wrote her down. I don't really do that, but I like what she did here. A lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's good. So we like her. I like her.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it was probably the best thing about Foyeldra.
Cinematography.
Right? Yeah.
But that guy.
But Elliot was also in it.
Yeah.
But I really did not like him in Foyeldra.
That guy. That face.
Yeah. Yeah.
That guy will have a good career. His face is so expressive, so unique somehow.
Yeah.
For me.
He has something.
He definitely does. Has something. It's a pity that kind of his character doesn't really... It appears, but it's kind of a missed opportunity, like we were talking about before that.
Yeah, but it's also because he doesn't have time to expand or anything. I mean, it's all in the surrounding somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so outer. You don't get so much into people here.
That's what you want. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm all for experimental. I mean, the music when it came, not many times experimental. Yeah. A lot of good experimental stuff. Like I said, I'm not one for resolution. I don't need that. But I need a cohesive kind of a picture being made. I don't need it to be linear. I just need a picture. Mm-hmm. It feels a little bit like you have like just over half a picture of what's going on here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
So it's 3 stars for me. Really promising. And yes,
we're definitely going to track down his next movie.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Whenever that might be.
You got anything else?
But you know. No, I can't really. I mean, I can go into more of the details of why I did not like it, but you know, I don't think it's even worth it because there's so much great promise here. So
yeah,
so
maybe
rather
it's not
just
yeah,
yeah. I don't want to. I don't feel like picking it down.
It's not fair, really, because there's so much good
really
stuff
fair.
There.
Yeah,
yeah.
But just because it doesn't resonate with you doesn't mean that it's a bad film. You know,
it's not a bad film.
No, it's really not a bad film.
I think
it's just not one that's up there for me.
Maybe one for the purists, if you want to look at all the aspects like the sound and the cinematography and all that and some good acting as well.
Yeah. And it's an experience.
Yeah. I will say this. I was glued to it the entire time. I was...
Yeah.
I was too. Yeah.
I was too.
It kind of got me, gripped me. And so there is that. Mm-hmm. So it's positive, really.
Yeah.
Even though we are like unwilling to, you know, give it high, really high marks. But it's good.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, 3 stars is also good.
Yes. Yeah, for Letterboxd, it's Bad Mom's good. Yeah.
Well, then we should give it 4. Yeah, if that's the bar, then we need to be
that's
4.5.
Half a star for us, so that's a different bar.
Yeah, different so, bar.
So, what are we thinking for next time?
Well, right now, not right now, but in a couple of days, Copenhagen Picks is going to start, which is the yearly film festival of Copenhagen. And a lot of interesting movies are coming out there. In particularly, Terry Gilliam's new film, The Man Who Killed Don Quixote. So I am definitely trying to get some tickets for that one. Do you want to come to Denmark? You have a week to come.
I would, but I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not visible in Iceland at the moment.
No. I'm quite surprised that it's actually being shown here, because Terry Gilliam lost the rights to the film, and I mean, it's in some sort of limbo right now, but
yeah,
I don't know. They got it somehow.
Well done.
Yeah, well done. Yeah. So therefore, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I am thinking that we will have the same problem as we always do.
Yes.
That is to find a film to watch.
The main thing that I'm thinking is that we need to try and come to the cinema and watch a movie.
Yeah.
So we're going to find something that aligns. That might be
at
the
what
nun.
Cost, though? The Spy Who Dumped Me, or at what cost are we?
I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe.
We'll see.
Well, we all know that the 28th of September is the release date of part one of Best Friends by Tommy Wiseau.
I'm thinking that's gonna come here to Iceland. I think it's
on all streaming platforms the 28th of September.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it's something we could do.
That's an idea.
And then both of us go and watch another movie in the cinema, and we lightly discuss it. Yeah.
Plan is forming.
Yes, a plan is forming.
I don't know what the fuck is going on here. I mean, Black Klansman is not even out yet.
No, and that one is also opening the 27th. So we're thinking about that. Well, I'm thinking about that one as well. Ah, man. Yeah. We'll figure something out, right?
Yeah. Best Friends
anyway.
Is an option, definitely.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see what we can get.
Yeah.
Anyway, as always, you can find us on all the platforms, but mainly, if you want to have one place to go to theconversationpodcast.net, and there are links to all, like Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, you name it.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's recently updated, but it looks fucking good. Just get on there.
Get on there, subscribe to our show. And send us your feedback if you want us to discuss something in particular. I mean, you can tell that we don't know what to discuss all the time, what to watch. I mean, any recommendation would be great. And also, if you have comments about what we've been talking about in this show, be it Ozark or the Song of the Sea, or even the feature Winter Brothers, please leave us a message on Facebook, Twitter,
or Monday, or whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I guess that's our show, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Thanks for listening.
Yes, and next time
we will. Bye bye now.